I tell you what, I sure appreciate Kristen leading singing for us this morning. I think she does a great job. Brother David's sick, and short notice, just call on her. She'll get up and do it. So I appreciate her, don't y'all? I do. I do. I love to see our young people step up. Amen. It just thrills my heart to see people step in and fill in and take over positions in the church. It's an exciting thing. We'll talk some about that this morning, about follow-up. That's been on my mind, about follow-up, you know. A little bit's been said about the singing here. That was New Year's Eve, Dade County Convention singing. They have their regular New Year's Eve, and it was here this year. And I think the Lord showed me a precedent for our church of what we should look like. The choir full and the house full and seats set out. Amen. Did y'all hear it? The house full, the choir full, and seats set down the aisleway. You know, that's good precedent, isn't it? That'd be a good thing to look for and shoot toward a goal that we'd look to achieve, you know. And, of course, we had people here from Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, Florida, North Carolina, Kentucky, West Virginia, Mississippi. You know, if we had that big area to draw, we'd fill this thing up every Sunday, wouldn't we? Be a little bit far for them to drive to get here, but it was a good time to the Lord, and I'm always amazed. You know, they give out the new books on New Year's Eve, and can you imagine them walking back there giving you a brand new book you've never saw, never known, never saw a song in it, and they say, "Let's sing it." You know, I've even got a problem sometimes if some of these I don't know as loud as I do the others, right? I just don't know them as loud, but that's just an amazing thing to me. They walk back there, they hand these books out, never saw them, never looked at them before. They just open and go to singing. That's music, folks. And I told them that I appreciate them moving it here and allowing us to host it. And I'm going to tell you the reason, one reason in that, is for our benefit. It's for our benefit, because this is a group that keeps Southern gospel singing and music pretty much going. They do a tremendous job and effort in that. And I'm going to tell you, I love our song service here. I don't like to preach dry. It's hard. It's always better if you've had a good song service. Good to have Terry Henson back with us today. Two brand new knees. How are they working? Two brand new knees. Well, it got her from the car into here, and I don't see a walker with her, so praise the Lord. Been out for a while, had the surgery, and I'm glad that went well. Good to see her back, and glad to have her back with us. And I could go through the house and count about people that's sick, but I don't want to take that much time because we've got sick folks, and if I miss one, they might say, "Well, you weren't mentioned." So if you know sick people, and I'm talking about this group and this group and this group, we got sick people out all over the house. We need to be praying for them, very much praying for them. I mean, with all of our heart, that they get back. Good to have Joyce back. I recognize her. Been out two or three services. Brother Jim, I think they're on the mend. And several others that's mending. Kenny and Tony and Jackie. And I can't get everybody, but I'm glad that y'all are back. And glad y'all are kind of overcoming it. But y'all pray for those that are still sick. I want to mention while I'm here, Alan Bradford scheduled for surgery tomorrow. Scheduled for surgery tomorrow. Hopefully, right? Hopefully they're going to get this taken care of. And I sat here thinking, I don't know what's on his mind, but boy, we've sure had good luck about praying for people before we sent them out to surgery. Hadn't we, Melvin? And so I want to call his name that we pray for him. We saw results in this. I mean, we've sent several out of here lately to have surgery, and boy, it seemed like it went well or better than expected. The doctors were even amazed. I mean, you know, they said, "Well, we was expecting this trouble, but it just seemed like it was all easier than we thought." So God worked on these things. So I'm going to ask everybody to pray for Alan. And that's tomorrow, supposedly scheduled at 8:45 in the morning in Murfreesboro. But now he's been there before and got sent back, right? And got canceled one other time. So let's pray that they get this corrected. I This is a military hospital. I'd be hoping that he was at least a sergeant instead of a private, you know, if he's going to be cutting on me. Got school starting back tomorrow. I want to mention that. We've kind of had a break praying for our school children and our workers at school, but we want to pick that back up today. Pick that up in the morning, that you pray for our children going back to school. Very important that we pray. I want to just send them in coated with prayer, don't y'all? Just surrounded, hedged about, you know, with the prayers from this church, because school is a tough place, I'm sure. Got young ladies on their way back to college. They're smiling back there. They're excited about going back. Amen. I might have y'all come up front and smile at everybody. They're not seeing what I'm seeing. I'm talking about two smiles. Now, they're fired up. They're ready to go. Ready to go back. But you pray for them and pray for all the ones that work at the school. And I think that's a necessity of the church, that we pray for our young people. Amen. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I don't want to take too much time with this, but if you're impressed that you've got something you want us to pray about, and I hadn't mentioned it, you hold your hand up and tell us what it is. Amen. Amen. One other one. Jessica and Dwayne's got a new baby. 7 pound, 2 ounce girl. What was his name? Ellie? Laney, Lily, Ellie. Tongue twister, isn't it? I'd like to see them call that in a hurry, you know. But anyway, pray for them. She was born Friday night, so pray for them. So we got a new baby coming in. Looking forward to that. Okay, Tommy. Heart doctor on Thursday. So you got some results, or they're just looking for something? Gonna see if you got a heart. Okay, all right. I'm picking on her, but y'all pray for that need. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Pray for that need also. All right. Gilbert. Gilbert needs her prayers. Got heart problems. Bad. What's going on with that, Julia? Excuse me. Okay, let's pray for Gilbert. And if you just don't mention it to Fred, that's not being dishonest. Just don't mention it to Fred. Unless he asks you, then we'll be okay, but that probably won't happen. But let's pray for Fred also. He seems like he's, Brother Don. Unspoken. Someone else, very quickly. Martha sick. Okay. Amen. Praying for a grandchild. Someone else? Yeah, Faye and Cynthia. I can't cover all the sick folks, but we got them all over the house. They've got flu and bronchitis, most of them. And so we need to pray for all those. Someone else? Unspoken here. Pray for Wanda. 2 days to the doctor this week, not really any results, so we need to pray for that. I prayed that God would heal her. That's my first request. God just heal her and solve the problem, right? And if he don't choose to heal her, give her a doctor that can find a problem. That's what I'm praying for. Someone over here. Okay. Amen. Now, all of you that's got a child sitting beside you or close enough you can get to them, go hug them. I'll tell you what this is about. A friend of mine, Judy, lost a 19-year-old son this week. heart attack, gone. And I just wonder if they got to hug him before he died. I know they're devastated. Yeah, friends of ours, Judy and Kevin O'Dell, live on Sand Mountain, lost their son, 19 years old this week. Heart attack, gone. 19 years old. And I just wondered, did they get to hug him that morning? I mean, that's devastating. You know, that's just terrible. Judy and myself were baptized the same day. Jeff Johnson, Ramona, and Judy Cagle, and myself. And I forgot the last one. Five of us were baptized the same day. This was years ago, but y'all pray for them. That's going to be a tough time. Funeral's going to be Tuesday at Mount Olive Baptist Church, so y'all pray for them. Tough. 19 years old. Someone else, real quick. Amen. Any others? Sister and a dad. Anyone else? Amen. That's what we're about. Most important thing can happen. Changes lives, don't it? Anyone else? Brother Jim Blaylock, will you lead us in prayer? Everybody pray and let's petition God on these. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you, God, for the day that you've blessed us and to come this way, that we worship and praise you. And we've come, Father, as a needy people. God, there's a great need in our church for wellness, for healing, for salvation. So many things, God, that comes to our mind and our hearts when we pray and ask your help in each situation facing. We need your help, Father, where there's been death in the families, God, that you would be with them and help them through this time. Just encourage them and show them, Father, that you are in control. Father, bless us in this service. Father, as we share your word, just use it to strengthen, uplift, and encourage us that we move forward for the cause of Christ. Lord God, be with us and help us in this time. Bless me, Father, and help me share the word and you power it by the Holy Spirit that it might have effect. Lord God, in all things, I praise you. Amen. All right, go right ahead. Amen. Amen. That's absolute true. We don't know. We don't have the promise of tomorrow, do we? But we do have promise of eternal life to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that's what we want to focus on some today. I talked about carrying on and moving forward. My vision for this church this year is growth. I plan to see souls saved. I plan to see lives rededicated and lives changed, and that we make a difference in this community. If you've got lost loved ones, then my prayer is for you and for them. And so we're going to focus on that through this year, that we be on an increase for the cause of Christ. That's what church ought to be about. I looked over numbers last year, and we pretty much maintained. But I want more than maintained. I want to see souls saved. for eternal life. That's what we're talking about. So we talk about carrying on. You know, if you read the Old Testament, Moses was one of the greatest leaders in the whole Bible. I mean, he led millions of people through the wilderness for some 40 years. But when his time ended, then it came time for Joshua. And you think about that. It came time for Joshua. God did not leave them unattended. God did not leave them leaderless. So we need to look at a time that maybe it's time for us to progress and step forward. Even some of our youth could move forward for this cause of Christ that I'm talking about, that we witness to our friends. We witness to our neighbors. We witness to those folks at school that we tell them about Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I want to look at some scripture tonight, today in the book of Acts in chapter 8. We're going to talk about some deacons and their service that they did. Some men of God, that their major focus of anything they did was to tell people about Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, this speaking of Stephen. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. For as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hating men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And I rejoice in the fact that God gives us this written word today to know that even under persecution, even under hard times, even under times when they were struggling, they went forward and preached and taught Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, that would be an example to us today, I believe, in our churches, that although we are persecuted to a certain extent, there's a battle going on every day out in the world to put us away, to deny us or whatever, deny the power of God. But that gives us encouragement that we keep going forward telling people about Jesus Christ. Now, I've come this morning and I've thought about all this week. You know, this is the first Sunday that we're here this new year, right? Praise God, we're still here and we're on the way starting into another year. And when I thought about the year past and the year to come, I want to see improvement. I want to see us move forward for the cause of Christ. I want to see souls saved, souls dedicated, and lives renewed. I've got a great desire for our church. I'm not satisfied where we are. Sometimes that's a problem when we get satisfied. Satisfaction brings laziness. And so we need to move forward. It's work. It's going to take a work. It's going to take an effort. It's not only going to be me, but it's going to be our church that we look out and we see the need for individuals to be saved. That's what will make it up. Individual. And so even though they're persecuted and Saul bringing havoc to the church and they're scattered abroad, they're displaced from their home site, they're put in an awkward position, but still they carried the word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they were about souls being saved. This new church had it together. Persecuted. Harder than we are today. In verse 5 said, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Now, we start understanding the joy that the Word of God brings. The joy, the happiness, the pleasure, the healing power that the Word of God brings. Now, I don't limit any power of God. I'm talking about He can still heal. He can still cast out unclean spirits today, just as He did in that day. When we start adhering to the Word of God, that's what we focus on. That's what we preach. That's what we teach. That's what we talk. And that's what we live. This Word of God and the power thereof. It's not going to be on our ability. It's not going to be on our strength, but it's going to be on the ability and the strength of God to see an increase in the church by souls being saved. Philip down, he's preaching the Word of God. That's what he's got. He's preaching Jesus Christ. That's what he's got. He's preaching salvation. And through that, they begin seeing the acts and the power of God, the unclean spirits being cast out, possessed taken away. These lame people up walking and moving around again. And they see the power of God demonstrated, and there was great joy in that city. I'm telling you, if we want to see joy, we need to preach, teach Jesus Christ crucified for the sins of the world. That's what will bring joy in people's life. You know, I look around. I talk to a lot of people. They're saddened by this, they're saddened by that, but they've still got a hope and they've got a joy because Jesus Christ is in their life. It can override the troubles and problems that we face every day. Philip, he's preaching the word. He's down there. They're having a great revival meeting down there. He's down there. He's preaching the word down in Samaria. And they're responding to the word of God. Oh, I know what it's like when people respond to the word of God. You want to see a preacher or a teacher or somebody testifying Jesus Christ get fired up? It's when somebody responds to it. You see a response. You see it make a difference. You see it make a change. This response that you see many times. We don't see near the response that I'd like to a lot of times. But it all is encouragement. Philip was seeing this, and I'm sure he was encouraged. I could think how excited the man was down there, seeing the work and the power of God and the response the people were getting, seeing the joy that's filling everybody down there in the city of Samaria. And he's on a high, I'm sure. He's excited. He's fired up. Now I want you to see the importance of one person. Now he's down there preaching to the city. But I want you to see the importance of one person. See, that's where we need to focus, one person at a time. You know, if we just focus on the group and the world, that's good. But I believe when we get focused on one person and we call their name to God, I believe we have more effect. I believe we have more power of God. That they're on our heart, they're on our mind about salvation, about rededication, the need might be in their life, that we focus on this one person and we start calling their name to God. We're going to work on a thing very shortly that if you got friends, family, neighbors that you'd like to see saved, and if you're willing to speak their name and write it on a board and put yours beside it, then we're going to get a lot of help praying for these people. And I'm hopeful that we'll get some of them took off the board for salvation, took off the board for rededication for the year's over. And so Philip's down there. He's having the best time of his life, no doubt. He's doing what God called him to do. He's seeing the effect of it. He's seeing the power of God demonstrated all through this time. And then over in Acts chapter 8 and verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And so all of a sudden, during this powerful revival meeting they're having up here in Samaria, and the angel of the Lord said, I want you to pick up from here and I want you to head down southward unto the desert. He said, the way that goes down to Gaza. And so I'm sure at times Philip had the question, well, look at all the success I'm having here. But there was a person down there that God wanted to see saved. That's the only way I know to explain it. There was a person down there that needed to hear about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So he sent him a personal preacher. One-on-one. Now I want to talk about this one-on-one a little bit. That's where we have our most power, our most effect, that when we can truly have a desire in our heart that we witness Jesus Christ to somebody, it can have an effect. This one-on-one, I want you to think about it. Jesus and God is concerned about the world, but they're concerned about an individual also. He picks Philip up. He said, I want you to go this way. Philip is obedient to the command of God and starts down the direction. In verse 27, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now, one man, consider one person that God is concerned about, and he's going to give him a one-on-one with a man of God. He's going to send him the word through Philip. He picks him up out of the city and says, I want you to go down. There's a man I'm concerned about. And I began rejoicing when I read this last night, knowing that God is concerned about that one that we're concerned about. It's not we're just concerned, but God's concerned. When I look through the congregation, and see the opportunity that God has blessed us with to win people to Christ? He's blessed this church with opportunities. I bet there's not one here that can say, all my family's saved. And if you are, you come up front. We're going to praise and give God thanks for that. But I want you to think about the opportunity He's blessed us with at this church that we go out and do a little of this one-on-one. Linda, you could fill a whole bench up, couldn't you? And I'm not picking on you because I love them people. And well, that's what we need to look at. Several of you here can fill a bench up with your family that's not in church or not saved. I said that wrong. That are not saved are not in church. Church is great. But it ain't much without salvation, is it? That promise of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And so we start thinking about, he picks him up out of Samaria, says, you go down this way. And God knew who he's going to run into. It talks about this eunuch. He said he was a man of great authority under a strange queen. But God had a desire for him to be saved. Now, God's got a desire for your individual to be saved. In verse 28, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said unto him, understandest thou what thou readest? This was a question that Philip had. Can you imagine him attached to the chariot running along on his feet? Because he's willing to put forth the effort. God said, I want this eunuch to be saved, and you're going to deliver the message. So whatever effort it took, he was going to please God. He's running alongside the chariot, and he said, understandest thou what thou readest? We need to have a plain scripture preached in our churches today from our pulpits that people are not confused. God is not the author of confusion. Now, no doubt, he'd been down to the city, and he'd heard the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and everybody else's opinion down there. And God wanted him to hear the truth. I'm talking about the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the truth. There's too many people confused today by different denominations, different thoughts, different men, and their ideas. Let's preach and teach Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Let's preach the truth that they not be confused. God's not the author of confusion. God didn't confuse this eunuch. He was confused down in the city by everybody's different opinion. And in my opinion, God's right and everybody else is wrong. Verse 31, and he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And he asked for instructions in the Word of God. Here's one person that Philip sent to, and he asked for instructions in the Word of God. I believe we've got people in our families today that just need instructions in the Word of God. That we make it so plain they can't deny it. That we make it so clear they'll have to understand it. There's a need today. The Lord's already showed me we're on the rise this year. We're going to increase. And I'm not going to doubt God. God's already let me see new faces, new people, praying in the altar, praying in the pews, praying in the bed at night, praying in the morning, praying at lunchtime, and praying at night that we see our loved ones saved. And if it's a one-on-one witness, praise God, let's go after it. In verse 35, then Philip, when he asked for understanding, verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Preached Jesus. What a simple message we have in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Born a virgin birth. Born in a stable. Son of God. Savior of the world. Sacrifice for all sins. And that's what Philip preached. That's what he preached. He began at the same scripture and preached to him, Jesus. Jesus. Philip was smart enough to know the greatest thing he could tell anybody in a short length of time was about Jesus. It's not about how you're going to live your life or what you're going to do. Now, that's in a concern, but that's not precedent. That's not the major thing. We want them to know and understand Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Then God will work on the rest of it. Then God can work on the rest of it. And as they went on their way and came into a certain water, the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Now, I've preached a lot of sermons from here about the baptism, the urgency of it, the desire for it, once he's a child of God. And so Philip answered, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Now that's results. That's effect of the power of God demonstrated. He desires to be baptized because he has believed with his whole heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What a simple message we've got to share with a confused world. Wouldn't it be great that you could take confusion out of their life and out of their mind, out of their heart, with just this simple message that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, sacrificed on the cross of Calvary, bloodshed for our sins and the sins of the whole world. And then when we start focusing one-on-one, can y'all see how much God loved this eunuch? Can you see how much God desired to give him understanding of the scripture? God's no respecter of person. He loves your lost loved one as much as he loved that eunuch. He loves them just as much as he loved the eunuch. That's exciting to know, that God's love is toward them. That's a good plan, isn't it? That God loves them. God concerned. God cares about them. Sent Philip one-on-one. He said, "I see the work you're doing here in Samaria, but I want you to go down and I want you to preach Jesus Christ." And through that, this eunuch has become a believer in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'll see him in heaven one day. Amen. I'll see him in heaven one day and say, "How was your chariot ride with Philip?" That's a reality that we have through the promise of God of eternal life. I'll see him. He's a believer. He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Amen. Become a believer. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Went on his way rejoicing. Wouldn't it be great to know that we had maybe just a small part of helping somebody to rejoice in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Can you think of some of your loved ones that you'd just love to see rejoicing in God? Now, I mean, I see some of my folks, you know, they rejoice in a lot of things, but I'd like to see them truly rejoicing in God. Because, see, that's the only true rejoicing that'll last. Everything else is temporary. You may rejoice in your health for a while, but that's temporary. You may rejoice in your bank account for a while, but that's temporary. You may rejoice in your good looks, but that's temporary. But when we rejoice in God, that is forever. I'd like to see some of them rejoicing, wouldn't you? Like to see some of them rejoicing. Amen. Let's have a verse for song. We'll close. I hope God shows some of y'all the vision that I've saw, and y'all are going to look crazy and think, you had a vision? Amen. God gives vision. And I rejoiced in the fact that I rejoiced in the fact also about this vision. You know, he said, old men shall dream dreams and young men shall have visions. Don't count me out yet. Don't count me out yet. I don't care what years I am. But I hope you see that vision of this church rejoicing with our loved ones that are lost rejoicing, and God working in the church and souls being saved, lives being rededicated. It'll be a great day, won't it? I believe it's coming. I believe we're on the way with it. Anybody need to come pray? Y'all come on. We hadn't started singing yet, but if you need to pray, you just come on down. Y'all remember, pray for all those sick. Pray for Alan. Special prayer today. Amen. Praying for lost loved ones. Praying for family. Whatever your need is. God can answer any prayer that you can ask in His will here today. That's a fact. Let's sing a verse of a song. Just continue playing, Sue, if you don't care. Lord God, that you grant her prayer and her request for her children, for her child. God, she spoke her desire and salvation for him, and I pray, God, that you bless her now. That she sees him saved. She sees the rejoicing in the fact that the power of God has come real to him. Lord God, just be with her and help her in this. I'm praying, God, and asking in the name of Jesus that you just show her this fact, this thing. We know you're able. God, show him your love that he respond to the message of Jesus Christ. God, be with her and help her in this. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord this year and encourage somebody to come out with you again tonight. We're going to have service tonight, and y'all be very much in prayer for it. It's an important part of our worship service during the week. Invite somebody to come to church with you. These family members that don't know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, pray for them. Pray for them. Get them on your heart and get them on your mind. I pray that you see their face every time you close your eyes, that their face come up before you. And then you get to the point that you're willing to pray and ask God's help in these situations. All right. Got Brother Ray Cross with us. New sheriff. I don't know. He said it's been a bad week. And the sheriff, a busy week, not a bad week. He didn't say bad week. He said it's been a very busy week, the sheriff business. I'm sure it is. But I told him, some of our sheriffs did it and just showed up half the time. He'll just have to learn the trick, right? Amen. I better hush. I guess I better hush on that. Amen. Huh? Did you hear that, Ray? Okay. Might learn a lesson from that. We're glad to have him. And y'all pray for him. He's took over a great responsibility, a powerful position in Dade County, the sheriff. And I'm glad to have him as part of our church. But more than that, I'm glad to have our sheriff saved. Amen. Amen. May make a difference. Amen. Amen. That'll make a change, won't it? That'll make a change. So y'all pray for that effort. And maybe we'll see souls saved through that also. All right, any word, anything before we go? Anybody? Larry Abbott.